Exodus 23, verses 25 and 26. You shall serve the Lord your God. He shall bless your bread and your water, and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Notice that. I'll take sickness away from the midst of thee. Now, this is old covenant. But if you bring this through the cross secures this in the new covenant. There is available to us in the new covenant the same blessing that sickness is taken away from us. And we see that all over the New Testament. But let's keep on going. I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in the land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. Say it out loud. The number of my days. He will fulfill. That's talking about long life. Number of our days is talking about long life. And then you might say, how long is long life? Well, really, the psalmist answered that in Psalm 91. He said, with long life, I'll satisfy you. If you're not satisfied, then that's not long life yet. Amen. So hang around until you're satisfied. Well, what if sickness tries to take me out? He said, here, you can believe God that there not be any sickness take you out. Early, you know what I'm talking about? Or even whenever you have finished your course. You don't have to die with sickness or disease. Did you know that? You can die like the Bible talks about the death of the righteous. You know, in the Old Testament, we have record of how Jacob died. And the Bible calls his death the death of the righteous. In other words, the way the righteous are supposed to die. And his death was not with sickness and disease. He was healthy. He called all his, Jacob called all his sons in. Remember, he had 12 boys. Praise God. You talk about a budget for dinner. I'm talking about that's a budget. You better have faith. You got 12 boys eating steak, you know. So go kill the cow for tomorrow too, you know, because we need another one for tomorrow. You know? But he called in all the 12 boys and he prophesied to all of them. And then the Bible said he gathered up his feet and put them in the bed and gave up the ghost. No sickness or disease. That's called the death of the righteous. And people don't understand. That's actually God's best. Sickness and disease is not supposed to take us out. We're to live a long life and die without sickness or disease. We're redeemed from sickness and disease. Well, if I wouldn't get sick, how would I die? Well, you do it like James says, the body without the spirit is dead. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so you can just boogie, just leave. I heard Pastor Nancy talking about a lady in her church. She was elderly, and she was ready to go. And they called the kids around, and they said, "Mom, you're ready to go?" "Yeah, I'm ready to go. I've run my race, finished my course." They said, "All right, Mom. Well, just release your spirit." And so they all stood around. They released her spirit with her, and they all stood around praising God. And they said, "Mom, what you hanging on for?" She goes, "I've never done this before. This isn't as easy as you think, you know." You know, if you've never done it, you might have to learn how to do it. Anyway, so that I just thought you'd enjoy that. It's a little funny, but with long life, I'll satisfy you. I'll take sickness away from the midst of thee. You'll fulfill the number of your days. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, the number of my days, I will fulfill without sickness or disease. Now, you read that and you say, well, if that's available, then why are so many people sick? Even Christians. How many of you know that we should not have the same statistics in the body of Christ as are in the world?
That's right.
You know, when it comes to how many people are sick and how many people have this, that, the other, it shouldn't be the same in the church because we're redeemed. We're in Christ, and in Christ, we're redeemed from sickness and disease.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't belong to us. Amen. That's awfully weak for Spirit of Faith Family Church. I said, it doesn't belong to us. I said, it doesn't belong to us. We need to not let go of this because if it's not preached, people will forget that this is available. And if it's not available, you won't reach for it in faith. I mean, excuse me, if you don't know it's available, is what I'm trying. If you don't know it's available, you won't reach for it in faith. You'll just look around and say, well, everybody that I know is sick of something, so I guess this is just normal. It's not normal for believers to be sick.
Come on.
Amen. That's not who they are.
Right.
That's not who they are. They are not the sick. They are the healed.
Amen. That's right.
They're the healed of the Lord. And so we need to go back and visit tonight. Something came up in my spirit about this. And we need to go back and visit tonight something that Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin and talked to him about. Because Brother Hagin was in a hospital room because of the story goes he was preaching up on the platform of a church. And somebody had put a tape, one of those old time tape players, you know, the big old things years ago, over here because they wanted to get a recording of Brother Hagin's service. And he forgot it was there, and he came around the side of the pulpit, and well, I guess he was going to jump off or something. He's preaching, kind of going to jump off or something. And he forgot that tape recorder was there, and he tripped, and he fell. Yeah. And his elbow was, I think it was out of place, if I remember right. And so he had to, I think he finished preaching, but they took him to the hospital because they could tell, you know, something's not right. It's flapping in the wrong places and not working right, you know. And so they took him to the hospital, and the doctor said, well, on the way to the hospital, the Lord said to him, don't worry about it. I'll talk to you about this later. And so he's in the hospital, and the doctor said, well, it's not broken, because the Lord had said in the car also, it's not broken. Yeah. But he said, don't worry about it. I'll talk to you about it later. He said, it's just out of place. And that's exactly what the doctors confirmed, that it wasn't broken. It was just knocked out, I guess his elbow, knocked out of place. And so they had to pop that back into place. And I think if I remember right, Brother Hagin said they did it without any, you know, what's that stuff called? Novocaine or anesthesia. And so he said it hurt like fire. But they put that back in there. But they wanted to just observe it a couple of days. So they kept him in the hospital for a couple of days. And so he said he was sitting in there feeling kind of lonely, you know, in a strange town. Or he wasn't in his hometown. He's out preaching on the road. And so there's not like there's a lot of family around or people to come visit him. But so he had a lot of time on his hands. And it didn't have to be tended to regularly, like every hour, checking, you know, vitals or anything. Because it wasn't a major thing. It's just a knocking an elbow out. So you know, not a lot of nurses going in and out. And so he's just sort of sitting there feeling lonely, you know, studying the word or whatever. And he said he heard steps. Somebody's coming down the hall, and he didn't even look up because he just thought it was a nurse. Yeah. Assumed, you know, it was a nurse probably coming to check on him or something. And so he didn't even look up, except when the door pushed open, he did just glance up, briefly. And he said the hair on the back of his head, neck stood up because there was Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus walked in that door because the door was partway open. He just pushed it the rest of the way open, and Jesus walked in. And Jesus closed the door most of the way and came over and got a chair and sat down by his bedside and talked to him face to face for an hour and a half in an open vision.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I don't know about you, but that hasn't happened in the last 3 years to me. Hasn't happened ever to me. But you know what I'm talking about. This is an unusual situation. This is not an everyday thing. You know, people that claim they have a vision every day and go to heaven when they can go to heaven whenever they want to, stay away from them.
Yeah.
They're nuts.
Yeah.
And they're a fake and they're frauds.
Right.
These things don't happen every day.
That's right.
That's right.
That's the truth about it. Yeah. You can say amen or say I'm guilty of being a fraud.
No.
Amen. So, but Jesus thought what he needed to say to Brother Hagin, he thought it was important enough that he came out of his realm into this realm to talk to Brother Hagin about it.
Yeah.
Now, he wasn't just talking to Brother Hagin about it. He was talking to all of us about it.
Yeah.
And because it happened to Brother Hagin, but it was for all of us.
Yes.
You understand that?
Yes.
This is not just Jesus teaching Brother Hagin. It's Jesus talking to the whole body.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
And so Brother Hagin said Jesus pulled up a chair and sat down beside his bed and started talking to him and talked to him for an hour and a half about many things, ministry things and things that pertain to him. And so whenever Jesus, in the course of Jesus' conversation with Brother Hagin, Brother Hagin said Jesus told him why this had happened. And he said to him, amongst other things, Jesus said to Brother Hagin, it's not my will, this is the way he said it, it's my will that none of my children ever be sick.
Mm-hmm.
It's my will that none of my children ever be operated on. It's my will that none of my children ever have accidents. Now, he had just had an accident. He wasn't really sick, you know, but he had had an accident, and they needed to tend to his body because of the accident. And so, in other words, what Jesus was saying was, being that that's not his will, what he's saying was, I don't use these things in order to teach people things. You understand that? We need to understand that, because people get all confused about some of these things. Well, Jesus did that to him to get his attention. Well, he doesn't have any evil. You know, the Bible says in James, only good gifts and perfect gifts from coming above, and there's from the Father of lights. There's no shadow of turning from that. God's never sending any evil to anybody. And sickness is evil.
Yes, it is.
It's a work of the devil.
Yes,
it's evil.
Yes.
And this isn't sickness, but it is an accident, and that's evil.
Yes. Yes.
Bible said Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Sickness is called an oppression of the devil.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That makes it evil, not good. It's not a blessing.
Right.
That's right.
Acts 10:38. It's satanic oppression.
Yeah. Yes,
sir. And we got to keep that clear in our modern day medical culture, medical science culture, that everything's explained away naturally.
Yeah.
Well, this is because of this bug and this virus and this hoogamooga and that and that. No, I mean, it has sources of things.
That's
Where'd that virus, that bug, and all that come from?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Come on.
Came in through the curse.
Right.
Yes.
And we're redeemed from the curse.
Yes. Yes.
I said we're redeemed from the curse. So Jesus talked to Brother Hagin about this, and he said, it's not my will that any of my children ever be sick, that they ever be operated on, or that they ever have an accident. In other words, he's not part of that. He's not putting his children into those kinds of circumstances. Amen. Now, if the devil's against us and God's doing things like this to be against us, we may as well give up and say uncle now, because, I mean, you know, if God and the devil are ganging up against us, how can we ever succeed? But see, not God's not against us. Praise God for that. Just some basic understanding that's all necessary for us. You know, just John 10:10 would fix a lot of doctrines. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that you might have life. And have it more abundantly. Well, sickness, accidents, and operations are not life more abundantly. Amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus is saying to Brother Hagin, it's not his will that any of those things happen. But yet then Jesus told Brother Hagin why this particular accident happened to him. He said, Jesus went on to explain to Brother Hagin, he said, but even though this is my will, he said, these things still do happen to my children. And here's three reasons why. Number one, we got to get a hold of these things.
Right. Yep.
Because anything that's going on in your mind's life falls into one of these categories.
Yes, this is good.
You understand that?
Yes, sir. Yes.
So number one, why these things happen anyway? Because they're not God's will, but sometimes they do happen. Why do they happen? Number one, Jesus said to Brother Hagin that many of my people, he said most of my children really, don't know what belongs to them.
Right.
See, they've not been taught redemption covers these things.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes, sure.
You know, when it comes to accidents, for example, you remember whenever the blood was applied to the homes of the Israelites back in Egypt, whenever the death angel passed through?
Yep.
The death angel is the demon spirit. It's not an angel from God.
That's right. Right.
The death angel is a separate being.
Yes.
I don't have time to explain all that. We've explained that in the past. But here's the point. Whenever that death angel went through, when the blood was applied, remember, which is a type of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, they didn't get remission of sin because of that blood, the animal's blood that was a type of Jesus. They got protection for their physical, temporal bodies.
Right.
Yeah.
There's protection from you for you from accidents, sickness, and everything that would afflict your temporal body.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
In the blood.
In the blood.
Amen. Say in the blood.
In the blood.
See, what does the blood speak of? It speaks of your redemption.
Yes.
So there's protection from all this. There's healing from all this in the blood.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Now, when you read about, or whenever you hear that about operations, people say, well, this, are you saying I should never get an operation? That's not what Jesus said.
Right.
He just said there's something better than that.
Yes. Right.
There's something better for that. In other words, he's not saying that somebody has sinned if they get an operation.
Right. Right.
Or if they're sick, there must be sin in their life. That's not what he said. No, remember, the first thing he said was some people just don't walk in this because they just don't know what belongs to them.
Yeah. Right.
We've got to be taught redemption. We've got to be taught what is ours in Christ.
Yeah.
And you can't get some of these things going to the wrong church. Where they talk like God's the one passing these, you know, pieces of candy out to his children and giving them sickness and, you know, all kinds of stuff. They think it's normal in some circles. It's not normal.
It's not normal.
It shouldn't be that the body of Christ has these things.
Right.
Now, am I condemning anybody that has? Well, I can't do that. I have had it myself.
Right.
I've had an operation.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm talking about? He's not saying it's sin to do it. He's just saying there's something better for it. In other words, his will provides something better than having an operation. Something better than sickness or disease. And that's what he said back in Exodus. I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. If sickness is taken away from the midst of us, then there wouldn't be any among us sick. James wrote to the church in his day and said, is any sick among you? Expecting that there wouldn't be. Otherwise, you wouldn't write and say, is there any? You would write and say, the 75% of you that are sick, here's what to do. But he said, is there anybody sick? Sickness ought to be abnormal. It ought not to be normal. Whether it's my life, your life, or whoever's life. There's something better available to us.
Amen.
And we've got to hear this, because if we don't hear God's best, we won't shoot for it. Now, the Lord said to me one time, in talking to him about some of this, he said, he's talking to me and he wanted me to tell the body of Christ this. He said, in order to have my best, they have to move beyond just being saved and be a disciple. They have to be schooled in my word. They have to be taught what is in my word. They have to renew their mind to it and build their faith for it.
Yes. Amen.
And become more than just a saved person, but become a disciple.
Yes.
Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Because these things won't happen for you just because you got saved. It's available just because you got saved, but it's not automatic. Just because you got saved. It's your right because you're saved. But see, you have to mix your faith with it. Number one, you got to learn about it. And that's what Jesus said to Brother Hagin. There's three reasons why these things do happen to my people. Number one, he said, many of my people just don't know that redemption covers this.
Yes.
Number two, Brother Hagin said to, Jesus said to Brother Hagin in the hospital room, he said, the number two reason that these things happen to people is because they don't have the faith to lay hold of what they do know belongs to them. You know, both of these situations so far that he said are curable. In other words, we can fix those two things. And then he said the third reason, and then Brother Hagin said, Jesus said to him, and that's the reason you're in this hospital room. This third reason is the reason you're in the hospital room right now, is because of disobedience. They got out of my perfect will. And out of my perfect will, Satan has access to them because they're on Satan's territory. You know, disobedience is called sin in the Bible. And when Satan has access to you, he has the right to attack you. Because disobedience is his territory. And he said to Brother Hagin, here's where you got into disobedience. And he talked to him about his ministry and getting things out of order, putting the wrong priorities first. And he said, you got out of my perfect will whenever you did that. So disobedience isn't just whether you're all out fired up for God or you're out just being dirty in the world. Disobedience has something to do with everything God talks to you about. Everything God talks. If he says, okay, it's time for you to get involved in helps ministry. Anything in disobedience is sin.
That's good.
Well, that went over real good. Maybe their amen-ers warmed up over here. I'll go over here. Amen. Following God means you walk in all the light he gives to you.
Yes.
All the light he gives to you.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I have seen way too much of people who take things that God deals with them about flippantly.
Right.
I have had people come up to me with tears in their eyes and say, the Lord told me that this is my home church.
Yes.
And that I'm to stay committed here. And told us more about it. And they lasted for a year. And that's about the last I've seen them, except every now and then. Just see them every now and then.
Right.
And they are some of the sickest people you ever met.
Oh, that's right.
Come on. Did God do that to them? No, disobedience did that to them.
Yeah. Come on.
Come on.
But see, we got to learn to put those two things together. And that's what Jesus is trying to get across to Brother Hagin. Don't just think, well, that's just what happens. I mean, people, they get into trouble and all this, you know. It's just normal. Well, I'm not saying you won't get attacked. But once you realize the three reasons that Christians stay in these things when the attack comes is because of 1, 2, and 3 here, then you can find and locate yourself in every situation and close that door and get out of it. All three of those things are curable.
Yeah. Amen.
In other words, we can get our mind renewed. We can learn what belongs to us. We can build our faith if we're weak in faith, or we can get into obedience if we've been in disobedience.
Amen.
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 A lot of times somebody will get under attack in the church and we'll talk to them and we'll say, well, you know, physically, I mean, they're getting under attack physically. And we'll say, well, there's a healing class every Sunday morning. Why don't you come? Well, I just don't. People will make all kinds of excuses. I just, you know, that's just early and I'm not a morning person. And they'll make all kinds of excuses.
Yeah. Come on.
Well, you don't want it bad enough.
Yeah. Come on. Seriously.
You'd rather spend your days in all these, you know, sicknesses, operations, and
come on now.
Right. Accidents.
Come on now.
Say it.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Not trying to condemn anybody. You can't play games with the things that God has revealed to us in his word.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And act like it's going to be automatic. And just because you're saved, it's all going to work out for you. It won't all work out for you just because you got saved. The Bible says there's the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God.
Right.
When you get saved, that's good. But there's something all the way up to the perfect will of God.
Yes.
And that is bringing every area of your life into what God's plan is for it.
Amen.
And having God's best.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. This is better preaching than your amen, and that's for sure. So there, Jesus is saying there's a kept place in him where these things don't have access to us. Let's look at some New Testament verses along this line. 1 John 5:18. We know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Keepeth himself.
Yes.
Keepeth himself. Say it out loud. He keepeth himself. What does that mean? This isn't God's job to keep you. Now, if you look at the context here, up earlier, he had talked about John here had written and said that he talks about he talks about Jesus came to destroy the works, plural, of the devil. The works, plural. And so it's not just sin that he came to destroy. He came to destroy sickness and disease in our lives.
Yes.
And then he said this verse, which means there's something on our side.
Yes.
We have to keep ourselves.
Yes.
He that is begotten of God, anybody begotten of God, born of God in here?
Yes, sir.
And he said, if you'll keep yourself, he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him. There's a place that the devil can't touch you.
Yes, right. All right now.
You remember whenever God, Satan came and presented himself to God over in the book of Job, Satan said to God, you put a hedge around Job, and I don't have any access to it. In fact, Satan said, you didn't just put a hedge around Job, you put a hedge around all that he has.
Yeah.
There's a place in God where all that you have, your health, listen, your finances, your property, your car, your house, your business, all that you have. Has a hedge of protection around it. I saw it in the spirit one time around these church buildings.
Yes.
And it wasn't just a hedge. It was an angel. It was angels standing shoulder to shoulder all around this property.
Praise God. Yes,
stuff happens, but stuff doesn't happen here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Pity the fool that tries to cross that.
That's right.
Right? Man, oh man, your amen are still getting warmed up tonight. Now, whatsoever is born of God keepeth himself. There's a place, there's a kept place in God. Then how about, I just referred to Job 1:10, that hedge. Then how about 1 Peter 1:5? Who are kept, he's talking about us as believers, are kept by the power of God through faith. Unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're kept by the power of God. That needs to be a part of your regular confession.
Yes.
Don't get up in the morning and say, I bind accidents, I bind sickness, I bind that. That's fear motivated.
Yes.
Don't be motivated by fear to say something. Be motivated by faith and say, I am kept.
Yes.
I am kept.
Yes.
Today, I am kept. What am I kept by? The power of God. In other words, I'm living in a hedge of the power of God all around me. Praise God. So there's a place that we're kept. It's a place in Christ. It's a place in faith. It's a place in knowledge of what belongs to us. And it's a place called obedience. Where we are untouchable. I said we're untouchable. I said we're untouchable. We need to say that. Now, like I said, Jesus isn't saying don't have an operation. Right? Because you have to follow the leading of the Spirit in your specific situation. Generally speaking, it's His will that you don't have to have an operation. But specifically speaking, you have to know in your spirit that that's where you are in faith. That you can lay hold of something without an operation. But if you're not there where you can lay hold of something without an operation... If you're not there, then you better go get the operation.
Yes,
he didn't say, Jesus didn't say what he said to Brother Hagin because that he's upset with that.
Yeah.
How many of you know, I've gotten to the place in my life, I believe the Lord's this way. The more I get to know him, the more I realize the Lord's this way too. I've gotten to the place in my life, if whatever it takes for somebody to get well, I want them well.
Yeah.
Just because you love them, you just want them well. If you need 13 operations, well, that's not fun, and it's not God's best, but I want you well. Let's get her done, you know.
Yeah.
You understand? So don't think God's mad at us if we don't get His best. We've all come short of getting His best at some point in our life. In some area. But we need to continually to reach for the best. I'm closer to God's best today than I was 10 years ago. Hallelujah. Are you? We ought to be growing, right? And so if we don't recognize what's available, we'll not reach for it, like I said. But God has a good plan for our lives. Praise God. And so there are things sometimes that in order to have God's best, we need to change.
Yes, sir.
Right? The Bible said we're changed into His image from glory to glory. God believes in change.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes the change is our thinking.
Yes.
Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look up the word transform. It has to do with changing.
Yes.
In other words, God wants us to think right in line with His word.
Yes.
And the change has to be with our believing, our thinking, our believing, our saying.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, let's take the accidents one. You know, sometimes people, they kind of make a joke out of it. Well, I'm just kind of prone to accidents. Ha, 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 ha. Trying to make a joke out of it.
Yeah.
Well, dear sister, dear brother, the joke's on you. The devil, you keep saying that, and he's going to, you're opening the door to that. Well, I'm just sort of clumsy. I trip over things and bump my head. Don't talk about that. You're in Christ.
Amen.
And in Christ, you're not prone to anything like that.
That's right. Amen.
In Christ, you're kept.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I said we're kept. And so change. God's big into change. Transformation. Right? Transformation in our thinking, our believing, our speaking, and so forth and so on. And so how do we change? We change by hearing. Right? And that's why it's important to go to the right church. Now, I've said it before, and some people, I guess they took it all wrong based on the way they responded to it. But I've said it before, it can be life and death which church you go to. Not because, you know, somebody's trying to get people into their church, but it's because of what you're hearing. What you're hearing. You have to hear the right things. Because faith comes by hearing. If you sit in the wrong atmosphere, under the wrong word, under lies and deception, you're going to get faith for something other than the plan of God.
Amen. That's right.
It matters where you go to church. I get amazed at people that don't think it matters. It does matter where you go to church. You know, people think they take it all wrong when you say stuff like that, but that's their problem. I got past that a long time ago. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And even when you're sitting under the word, even if the minister or the pastor doesn't address certain things that relate to you, just sitting under that atmosphere, the Holy Ghost will speak something to your heart. Isn't that right? Anybody ever had that happen? While you're sitting there under that atmosphere, something just rises up in your spirit. The minister didn't even say it, but the Holy Ghost said it because you're in that atmosphere. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And so to walk in this, sometimes we have to adjust some things. We have to make some adjustments. You ever read Matthew 13:15? It talks about this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they've closed at the same time. They see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and look at this, understand with their heart. And then he said, and be converted.
Yes.
That means to change and go a different direction, and I should heal them.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes,
sometimes there's things that have to change before we're healed. I'm not always talking about it's some big evil thing, somebody's evil. How many of you know not everybody sick is evil? Sometimes it's just a change of what we're hearing.
Yes.
Or let's put it this way, just a change of making it a priority to get the word in us in that area. I don't know if you listened to Sunday morning service down in Kansas City. We were talking about prosperity, and we were talking about it's connected to a message.
Yes.
Sitting under the hearing the right things.
Amen.
And sometimes we need to make it important enough to get the word in us in an area that we need to be more bearing more fruit in.
Yes. Yes.
I talked about a testimony out. Pastor Nancy had a lady come up in the minister's conference. It wasn't online. You couldn't see it. But she had a lady come up, a pastor's daughter. Actually, she's a praise and worship leader of their church in Ohio. And her testimony was she had been sickly for really since her teenage years. She's now a married lady. I believe she has some children now. But she was sickly since her teenage years, and doctors couldn't find what was going on, you know. And so she's believing God. But eventually, the doctors finally found it. It was a tumor inside. I don't know if it was her stomach or somewhere up here. And they eventually, that tumor grew to be 13 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And she was making no progress quick. And I don't think the doctors were that keen on operating on it because of the location or something. I don't remember all the details. So she's standing and believing God, and she's getting nowhere quick. Finally, she said, that's it. I'm giving an all-out effort to the word for 30 days. I'm cutting out social media. I'm counting out all this other stuff, all the distractions, and I'm giving myself to the word for 30 days. And she did for 30 days. She said after 30 days, she's speaking the word that she's meditating on. She went to bed speaking the word after 30 days. And after 30 days, she woke up. And her husband woke her up, really. And he's laying there in the bed beside her and said, honey, look at your stomach. Because the tumor had grown. Her stomach's way out here.
Yeah.
Not because of being overweight, just the tumor. 13-pound tumor. And so he woke her up and said, honey, look at your stomach. And she's like not a morning person. She's trying to wake up. And she's like, what do you say? What are you saying? And he said, look at your stomach. And she looked down her stomach. Her stomach's completely flat.
Wow.
She jumped out of bed. Now she's awake, you know. She jumped out of bed. She went and stood in front of the mirror. She went, look. And all the symptoms were gone. The tumor was totally gone. The reason she knew it was 13 pounds, she went and got on the scales, and the scales said 13 pounds less. Somebody said, where did that go? I don't really care. I don't really care. What matters is she got what she was believing God for.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
But she said she had to get to focused on the word. Yes. You have to get serious about the word of God.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's right.
Get serious about God's best here.
Yes, sir.
If we're not, if we're okay with in and out of sickness, in and out of operations, in and out of accidents, that's what we're going to keep having continuously. Continuously. And I'll just say it. Some have been in and out of this so much that something's wrong.
All right, come on. Yes, sir.
Come on.
Yep. That's right.
Something's wrong. Now, I didn't say it's sin.
Right.
No, sir.
Something's wrong. Somebody is not focusing on the word.
Yeah, right. Come on.
They're giving us lip service in church.
All right, now. Come on.
Yeah. Come on.
Come on.
It's not normal.
Yeah.
Where's the door open to the devil?
All right.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying sin. I'm saying either you have a lack of knowledge or you're not serious about your faith.
Right. Come on.
Or it's possibly disobedience. I'm not accusing anybody of disobedience.
Yeah.
That's between you and God.
Yeah.
Yes,
but you have to just get to the place, okay, Lord, let's have it out.
Right.
Yes, sir.
And don't misunderstand me. It's not on his side being unfaithful.
That's right.
When I say have it out, I'm talking about getting serious.
Yeah.
Yes. Say, Lord, somewhere I'm missing it here.
That's right.
Come on.
Remember whenever I said how things changed for us in the area of prosperity?
Yeah.
I said, Lord, I know it's not on your side. It's on my side somewhere. Help me.
That's right.
Yes, amen.
Help me.
Yeah.
And I was sincere.
Yeah. Yes.
And he said to me, prosperity doesn't begin with more money in your pocket. It begins when my word finds a home in your heart, which was basically telling me I didn't have the word in me in that area enough. My throat's fine. It just sounds weird. I'm perfectly fine. Amen. But he was basically saying, I didn't have the word in my heart in that area that would produce like I needed it to produce.
Come on.
The word will work.
Yes.
But you have to be serious about it.
Yes. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And serious about it means in your private life as much as in church.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen. That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Right. Absolutely. So I said, Lord, I see it. Now, when he said, when my word finds a home in your heart, notice that term, finds a home in your heart. A home in your heart means, like if I come to your house and you make me feel at home, or you come to my house and I make you feel at home, or our home and we make you feel at home, how many of you know that means you're comfortable there, and you're probably going to lean back on the sofa, maybe even take your shoes. The more at home you are, the more you access everything that's there.
Right.
You might even get to the place you're at home enough.
Yeah.
You go over and say, "Has got anything to eat in the refrigerator?" You know.
Yeah.
The more at home you feel, the more you have access, or you will take advantage of access to everything in that home.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, you might be saying, well, I'm just going to lay here in the living room and watch the birds outside, but the couch isn't in the right place. So you bump the couch over there and you put it in the right place. Well, now you're really feeling at home. And he said, that's the way the word has to be, where you welcome it in every area of your life, not just in the area of healing.
Yeah.
How about the area of the love walk?
Yeah.
How about the area of your supply, bringing your supply to the body of Christ?
Right. Yeah.
Come on.
That's good.
Yeah. Every area of our life has, God's word has to feel at home in every area.
That's right.
That's so good.
It is good preaching. Amen. Praise God for the word. So, everybody say, I'm not supposed to have sickness, operations, or accidents. Amen. So none of that's God's will. Like we said, it's not that he's angry at us if we don't get his best. But we can keep on reaching for his best.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Praise God. Now, there's so much we could say here. Glory to God. You getting anything out of this?
Yes.
Get his best in you. In other words, the word of God about his best in you. Until it's bigger in you than all of your experience.
Yes.
You might have experience being in and out of the hospital.
Yeah.
But get his word in you about what his best is until that's bigger in you than all of your experience.
Yes, that's so good.
You following me?
Yes, sir.
The word has to grow. Remember the Bible says about what happened in the book of Acts. It's mightily grew the word and prevailed. Yeah. Notice it doesn't just prevail. It has to grow until it prevails. If I'm coming short, and there's areas right now I'm seeing in my life that I'm coming short. If I'm coming short, the word is not prevailing. Well, it is, but it's not prevailing to the degree that I see it can prevail. How many of you know it's prevailing in you now more than it ever has? Probably everybody here is prevailing more than it ever has. But you and I can probably still see areas where it's not prevailing like it could prevail. Especially when you start looking at things like this in the scriptures. Hallelujah. And we need to stop being okay with certain things. Well, every year I get this, or every year, and whatever goes around, I get it. Well, is that what this verse said? I'll take sickness away from the midst of you? I'm not trying to condemn anybody. How many of you know you shouldn't take this as condemnation? And we ought to take it like we need to stop being okay with certain things. Amen. Amen. And so that's what we need to hear tonight. God wanted me to talk about that.
Amen.
Amen. There's just things that as your pastor bothers me.
Yeah.
I'm not just talking about everybody.
Yes, sir.
But I'm just talking about some who've been around for a couple of decades. If I were you, I'd get my nose in the carpet.
Yes, sir.
Not in a condemned way.
Right.
But in a way that says, okay, God, this is on my side.
Yeah. Right.
It's not on your side.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
And listen, anybody that hears this and takes it in a condemning way, they'll think I'm saying anytime somebody's attacked, something's wrong. I'm not talking about being attacked. I'm talking about living there.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? Because all of us get attacked.
Right.
So don't take this as, well, he's saying anybody gets attacked, there's something wrong. No, not really. The first two that Jesus gave Brother Hagin had something to do with getting what does come off of you. Right?
Yep.
So don't think, well, I'm under attack, something must be wrong. No, you're under attack, do what you know to do, and it will not stay that way. That's what Jesus is trying to say to Brother Hagin.
Amen.
And don't always run to the disobedience one. That was the third one, not the first one. Jesus didn't say that was first.
That's right. Yes, sir.
He said the main two are just lack of knowledge and lack of faith. Right? But you always need to be open to the Holy Ghost dealing with you about something. That's what he was dealing with Brother Hagin. He said he put the wrong office first. He was trying to put the teaching ministry before the prophet's office. And you might think that's a small thing. Well, I don't have time to get into that. If I take that route, then I mean that's more for ministers, but it's not a small thing. Because you go through, and everybody's life is like this. Not everybody's not in the ministry, but everybody's life has phases.
Yes, sir.
Everybody's life goes from one phase to another. Has anybody ever noticed that as you get married, you come into a phase where you're raising children? Somehow that happens.
Yeah.
First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby in the baby carriage. So that phase comes, and then they grow up and leave the house. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You enjoyed the phase when they were growing up, but now they're leaving the house.
Amen.
Right? And you're in another phase.
Yep.
And then they start having grandbabies, and that's a whole nother phase.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Grandbabies are a reward from God for not killing your children whenever they were. Whenever you wanted to. Or thought about it. So there's phases in life. And each phase has a different flow to it. Right? Each phase has things that are kind of more prominent in your life. More important that you're focused on more. I mean, when the kids are being raised, you're kind of focused on raising the kids. Right? So there's something that has to be focused on more. The same thing goes with phases of life that God takes you through. There's things in certain phases you have to focus on more than other phases. And the direction in the previous phase can't be followed into the new phase. Because every phase calls for his own obedience. And that's what Jesus was talking to Brother Hagin about. Pastor Nancy said, and here I am going to talk about it. I wanted to get something else. If you believe God with me, we'll still get that out.
Yes,
and Pastor Nancy said, whenever she said she loved pastoring. Uh-huh. And you can see that.
Yeah.
But she's not pastoring now, but when she was pastoring, she loved pastoring. And she said to the Lord, she said, I just enjoy pastoring so much. She said, I've always known, though, there's coming a season I'm going to have to be out on the road more. And of course, that kind of, seasons don't have, an abrupt ending to one and start to another. A lot of times they fit together like fingers. They start overlapping one another. And eventually you get into a new season where the one has to be dropped off. But she said she loved pastoring. She was getting into that phase. She knew eventually she's going to have to, that God was going to move her out of pastoring and then he's going to move her into traveling ministry. And so she was asking the Lord, she said, I love pastoring so much. Are you going to let me do like Dr. Summerall? Mm-hmm. Dr. Summerall, if you know anything about his ministry, Brother Summerall said, I'm an apostle and God lets me pastor. And he said, but Dr. Summerall, Pastor Nancy said this, and I knew this from other ministers talking to him, that Dr. Summerall, he had a church in South Bend, Indiana, I believe, if I remember right. And that he would fly home no matter where he was, because he would travel all over the world. No matter where he was in the world, he'd fly home so he could preach on Sunday morning. And then after, I think maybe Sunday morning, I don't know if he preached there Sunday night too, whatever, Sunday morning or just Sunday morning and Sunday night, but he would finish that and then he'd jump on his plane and he would go preach all over the world again.
Right.
Do that all the time. Yeah. And Dr. Summerall said, I'm an apostle, and that's what he was for sure. But he said, and God lets me pastor. So she was asking, Pastor Nancy was asking the Lord, are you going to let me do that? Because I love pastoring. She said, whenever the time came, the Lord dealt with her to turn the church over to at that time, Pastor Morgan first, you remember, was that 2016. She turned the church over to Pastor Morgan, and she said that, I think she was scheduled, though, to preach for a couple of more services. So she preached on the Wednesday night after she turned it over to Pastor Morgan, and when she preached on Wednesday night, there was no anointing. And so she said, it got up and went somewhere else. It wasn't with me. And she said, well, maybe that was just a fluke. Maybe it was just me. I was off. I wasn't on my game. But I'm scheduled to preach Sunday morning. We'll test this out again on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And she gave herself to study and preparing and to flow like God wanted her to flow. And she got up again on Sunday and there was no anointing. And she said, okay, Lord, I get it. You're not going to let me travel and pastor.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So what she's saying, she said, and then she went on to say, she said, what I'm saying is the season required something else to be priority.
Yeah.
You following that?
Yeah.
But that's just not true for ministers. That's true for all of our lives.
Amen.
There are seasons God will have you emphasize certain things. But there are seasons that won't be the emphasis anymore. And to try to keep that the emphasis, listen, will open you up to one of those three things.
Right now.
One of those three causes.
Right.
Specifically the disobedience one.
Yeah. Wow.
That's real good.
See, like I said, obedience isn't just being all out for God, on fire, full of the Holy Ghost for God, or being over in the world serving the devil and being dirty. Here's obedience, here's disobedience. Disobedience. Disobedience can be just not moving with the seasons as they change and not making something new the priority.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's all good. I don't know if it helps any of you or not.
Yes, sir.
But we have to move with the seasons as the Spirit of God leads us. And bless some people's hearts, the season doesn't change every 3 months.
Yeah.
You know, some people, well, God spoke to me to, somebody recently said this to us. And I don't care if they think I'm talking about them. I am.
All right now.
People come to us and don't say anything publicly. Well, you are a good example, so I'm going to use your example of what not to do.
All right now, come on.
They've been a part of the church for, I don't know, just a short period of time. And then they came and said, the Lord's moving us on. Yeah, the Lord didn't move you on. He's not fickle like that.
Right. Come on.
He's not fickle like that. No, we just addressed you, and you didn't like what we addressed you about.
Exactly.
In kindness and love and gently, very sweetly we addressed.
Yeah.
No, you're not going to hand out your flyer in this church about your prophetic ceremony where you're going to come and everybody's going to get a prophecy.
Right.
You're not going to hand that out in this church.
Right. Come on. No, sir.
Well, the Lord's moving me on. No, you didn't take correction. That's why you're moving on.
Right.
You got offended. That's why you're moving on. Where are you talking about somebody? Yeah, I'm talking about somebody. We're always talking about somebody. Everything we preach, we're talking to somebody. Don't try to tell us what to say in the pulpit and what don't to say. God didn't sit you in the pulpit to tell us what to say and what not to say. I started getting all bound up with that, and I got free from it. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't want to be used as an example. Then behave. Don't be stupid. Don't do dumb things. Don't yield to the flesh and act like it's God talking to you.
Right.
And we won't talk about you.
Right.
There are so many good examples I don't share because I don't want people to think I'm talking about them. I'm going to just start talking about it. I'm not going to call names. I'm just going to talk about it. And if everybody knows who it is, I'm probably not going to talk about it because I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. Yeah. Let me finish up with something that you'll like. Praise the Lord. Go over to the book of Colossians. We'll wrap this up. I started at 8:45, so I got 10 minutes, all right? Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 3. Y'all ready to do some shouting before we go? For you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God.
Yes.
Hidden.
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 That means inaccessible. Satan doesn't have access to you.
Amen.
In Christ. Staying in Christ is a place where you're kept.
Yes.
The Lord gave me an example. I was preaching this down in Houston recently where, Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he talks about the King James is, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live yet. Not I, but Christ lives in me. The distilled translation, D-I-S-T-I-L-L-E-D. There is a distilled translation. I guess it's strong proof. Praise God. But the distilled translation, it says, let me see if I can get it just right. Say, this is good, this is good. He said, I consider myself as having died, and now I'm enjoying a second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. And I was meditating on that, and I was preaching it down in Houston because the Lord showed me an example of this, of the witness protection program that sometimes the United States government will put people who testify against criminals in the witness protection program.
Yes.
Particularly, they used it back in the days, and I guess they still use it today, I don't know, but in the days of the mob. They were going after the mob.
Yeah.
And when somebody testified against the mob, the mob would come after them.
Yeah. Right.
So they needed to be protected, and they needed to have, people would say, well, I'll testify against the mob if you will give me some sort of protection from the mob.
Yeah, right.
We got a plan for that.
Yeah.
Here's the plan. It's called the Witness Protection Program.
Yeah.
Okay, you testify. You agree to testify against the mob, and then we'll put you in the Witness Protection Program. What that is somebody's complete identity gets changed.
Yeah.
They get changed to the point where if their name was, Jack Smith or whatever, now their name's something totally different, like Oliver Sockwad or something like that, And they got a new social security number. They got a new driver's license. They got a new everything. Their bank accounts get new. Everything gets new.
Yes.
New identity.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because so that nobody can trace them.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Now there's somebody that used to live in one state, but now they live in another state. They used to be a professional this, and now they're a carpenter, and they're nothing like they used to be. They might not even look like they used to be. Used to look. You understand what I'm talking about? And nobody can trace them. Praise God.
Amen.
They're as different as Arnold Schwarzenegger is from Gomer Pyle. I mean, you can't tell, you can't find who they are. You can look for them and you can't find them. Can't find them on social media. You can't find them anywhere. Because that old man no longer exists. No longer exists. So much so that in the United States Witness Protection Program, the United States government can't even prosecute any of that man's crimes who were committed, those crimes that were committed under the old identity.
That's right.
That's how new they are.
Wow.
Amen. Come on.
They can't even prosecute that old man because that old man doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Woo! I consider myself as having died and now enjoying a new existence.
Yeah.
In other words, now Satan can't trace me. He doesn't have access to me.
Right.
I'm not in his kingdom.
Right.
He can't make me sick.
That's right.
You following what we're saying here? I'm now hidden.
Yes.
In plain sight.
Yes.
You know, a guy who has gone through the witness protection program, specifically as he's had any changes, you know, look to his natural man, he can walk up and greet one of those old mobsters and say, "Hi, how you doing?" And they don't even know who he is.
Yeah. Come on, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's you with the devil.
Amen.
Whenever they change those people's identity in the witness protection program, they are hidden in plain sight.
Yes.
And that's who you are. You are hidden in plain sight.
Amen.
Satan has no access to you.
That's right.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
That's called in Christ.
Amen.
That's what he said in Colossians 3:3. In Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm in Christ and I'm hidden. Say, I'm hidden.
Amen.
That means that accidents can't get to me.
Right.
Amen. Sickness can't get to me.
Amen.
We got to believe this. Now and we're wrapping this up. Now the issue with the man who went through the witness protection program is that in his mind he still remembers his old identity.
Yeah.
And he has to be careful. Whenever somebody asks for his identity, he doesn't say the old name. Or talk like the old man. Or discuss the old things of the former man that has passed away. And that's your challenge today. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness. You've been now put into Christ. You're now hidden in Christ. And now God's plan for you is that you renew your mind and don't identify yourself anymore as the old man.
Amen.
Don't talk like him. Don't think like him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When people ask you for the identity down at the bank, don't give them your old identity.
Right.
I'm talking about the example, the witness protection program example.
Sir.
Because if you start talking about who the old man was, now Satan can find you. You're no longer hidden.
That's good.
See, that's what he's talking about when Jesus said, some people don't have my best because they don't have the faith for it. When you have the faith for God's best, you're always talking your new identity. And you're always functioning in your new identity. You're not talking about the old man. You're not talking about your unworthiness of the past. You're not talking about your old, the way you used to work with the mob, You're just talking about the new man.
Yes,
I use the example, and we're wrapping this up. But I use the example whenever you've ever seen a child doing or playing hide and seek, but they're too young to really understand. And so everybody goes and hides, and the little child that doesn't understand, he goes and finds a blanket on the couch, and he throws the blanket over his head, and his whole body's sticking out. But he thinks because he can't see the person seeking, that the person seeking can't find him. You ever seen a child do that? Well, that's the way some Christians are. They went to church and who they are and know who they are in Christ, but there's still parts of them sticking out.
That's good.
They're in Christ, but they're not functioning in Christ, and they're not identifying themselves as in Christ. So there's part of them sticking out. The old man's sticking out. And so Satan goes, I identify that one.
That's so good.
Man, that helps me. That just brings such understanding to this.
Yes, amen.
So it's one thing to be in Christ. It's another thing to identify yourself as in Christ and not go around talking sickness and disease. And go around. It's one thing to be in Christ. It's another thing to function as one in Christ. In him we live and move. One translation says function.
Yes.
And have our identity.
Yes. Come on.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not just in Christ. I'm functioning as one in Christ.
Yes.
I'm talking as one in Christ.
Yes. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Stand up with me.
Praise God.
And that keeps me from Satan having access to me.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Are you happy? Let's go for God's best. What do you say?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's not okay anymore.
That's right.
Not to be in and out, up and down.
Amen.
Get ourselves in the prayer closet and say, all right, Lord, amen. I know it's on my side.
Yes.
And then don't get offended when he starts talking to you.
Amen.
He'll love you right on through it. He wants you to have his best.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I love the testimonies of people who said, okay, I'm not taking this anymore.
Yeah.
I'll share one of them with you just because it just keeps coming to me during this service. How many years ago was it, Kimberly, that they doctor said your lungs were at about
30%? 5 or 6 years ago.
And so she decided, okay,
yeah.
I'm not going to take this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to live this way.
Yeah.
She's not, you know, ready to go home. She got a lot to do for God.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
And she started praying, seeking God. And God started talking to her and talking to her. She kept making those adjustments, renewing her mind.
Yeah.
And what was it? A couple weeks ago, you did a 5-kilometer walk or something.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Yep.
And people were having trouble keeping up with you. That's what I heard. People were having trouble keeping up with you. Glory.
Yeah.
She wasn't okay.
Exactly. Yes.
With the way it was going.
Right. Yes.
I love those kind of testimonies. I love those kind of testimonies. When I hurt my back, whenever we built our house, I was doing some landscaping and hurt my back. I it's one of those things you think, well, I'll just lay in bed a while. It'll go away. Some things will just go away if you don't stress it too much. But it's one of those things. This one ain't going away.
Yeah.
After day, after day, after day. I mean, propping myself with all kinds of pillows. And finally, I woke up one morning and the Lord said, now, if you're going to be okay with this, then I have to allow this too. Because whatever you allow, I have to allow.
Right.
Boy, that challenged me to the core.
Yeah.
So I got my faith on that thing.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I got healed of it. Praise God.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Everybody say, I'm not okay with the way it's been. In Jesus' name, I'm going for God's best. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You ever seen a child learning to walk? They get up and take a step or two and then they plop on their little bottom. How many of you know you don't spank them for that? You congratulate them. In fact, you're taking videos. Oh, look, look, look. And you go, way to go, sonny, way to go.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the way it is when we start walking in God's best. We might go for it, get a little bit of it, and plop on our bottoms.
Yes.
And God's not going to spank us for that. He's going to say, that's right. Just keep on going.
Yes.
Just keep on going.
Yes.
You'll get good at this.
Yeah. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm thankful I came to church tonight.
Yes.
This is one of those services that's kind of tight, but it's right. You know, it's just kind of makes you, okay, I'm not okay with just floating through life the way it's been anymore. Praise the Lord. Maste brengere mon pantayeke, brore ma do te pakaya, Paskatataye, brogenamas, brangach dokota, bransna satai, donglikiste. My heart and my longing is that you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to your heart. For I long for you to have my best, even more than you long to have my best. So heed to me, and I'll walk you right into what I've planned for you. And you'll say in your heart, the Lord was waiting on me. I was not waiting on him. And you'll say in your heart, the Lord was ready to have his best in my life. And so thank you, Lord, that you revealed yourself to me as I turned my attention to you and gave myself to hearing what the Spirit is saying in the name of Jesus. And I have nothing but gladness and nothing but adoration in my heart for the goodness of the Lord. And my testimony will be, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. That's going to be your testimony.